Hi everyone, welcome to part number 21 of the Our Covenant God Study. Firstly, let's have a look at last week's homework. Question number 1. Explain how calling on the name of the Lord, taking the name of the Lord, and being baptized into the name of the Lord are all the same thing. When I call on the name of the Lord, I am taking his identity, because his name speaks of his identity, unto myself in a covenant union. I am completely immersed into him, just like a cloth being dipped into dye. I can never look the same again. Once we have become one, he is in me, and I am in him. We are one. From then on, I carry his name. Question number 2. Taking the name of Jesus as your own is a great responsibility. How should we use it to see God's kingdom come on this earth, as in Matthew 6 verse 10? We should go out and do what Jesus did when he was walking on this earth. We should preach the kingdom of God, telling people to change their thinking. We should cast out demons, we should speak in tongues, we should walk in victory over the devil. We should lay hands on the sick, and we should make disciples of all nations. Homework question number 3. Paraphrase Exodus 20 verse 7 using everyday language. God is saying that they would not take his name in covenant union, like a marriage or adoption, in an empty and meaningless way. It would be real, it would be life-changing, and it would have substance. Homework question number 4. In the light of Romans 1, verse 18 to 32, why do you think God told Moses in Exodus 33, verse 20, that soon after the Israelites broke the covenant by worshipping the golden calf, that he could not see his face because it would kill him if he did? In Romans 1, verse 18 to 32, it says that God showed them who he was, but they refused to see him. They refused to open their eyes and allow his light to come inside them. Thus their hearts became dark, and all they could then see was God's judgment, which was death. This was the situation that the Israelites were in right at that moment in Exodus 33, verse 20. So, Moses, being their representative, would have died if God showed his face, which speaks of full revelation to him. And now for today's lesson. Today we are concluding as it was in the days of Noah. This is part 3. In part 20 of the study, we saw how people had corrupted themselves and deteriorated from people who knew God to people of a debased mind who no longer had any relationship with God because they had rejected him and worshipped false gods. Their sin had contaminated the whole earth, and therefore God pronounced judgment. Genesis 6 verse 5 in the New King James Version says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Was every person's heart evil? No, only those who were sons of man, not sons of God. Noah's heart was not evil, because the Bible describes him as a just and perfect man. To save Noah, his family, and living creatures, God told Noah to build an ark out of wood. It appears that it took 120 years for Noah and his family to build it. This ark would be their safe haven, their shelter from destruction. It would carry them and some of the animals through the flood and onto dry land. Before we look at the flood itself, there is one more point about as it was in the days of Noah. If you look at the graph of people's lifespans and dates of death, you will see that Methuselah died the same year that the flood began. Jewish tradition states that he died 7 days before the rain began. If so, then Genesis 7, verse 1 to 4, happened the day that Methuselah died. Now, Methuselah's death is very significant. Firstly, his name has a rather peculiar meaning, because it means, when he dies, it will be sent. What will be sent? In retrospect, we can see that it was the flood that was sent after he died. His name was a prophecy. Whenever anyone spoke his name, they were declaring that the judgment would come once Methuselah died. Methuselah is the oldest man to have ever lived. He died when he was 969 years old. His long life is a picture of God's patience, because it seems that God stretched Methuselah's life out as long as was fitting to give people as much opportunity to repent as possible. In 2 Peter 3, Peter writes to the church and explains that there will be a final judgment, which is still in our future, and creation will be destroyed. Not by water this time, but by fire. He likens it to the destruction of the flood in Noah's day, and explains. In verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This is something I have found to be very strange about us as people. It seems so easy for us to accept God's judgment, but it seems so hard to receive his mercy. It is easy to see him as being harsh and condemning, but it's difficult to see him as being gracious and kind. But the truth is that when God declares judgment, he always wants people to repent, because he longs to show them mercy. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God. He does not want people to be destroyed. We see this from Adam to Jesus. In fact, one of the most beautiful demonstrations of this is in the book of Jonah, when Nineveh had judgment pronounced against her. But because the people repented before God, the city was saved. God never changes. He doesn't have different rules for different people. He always wants people to live and not die, and he expects his people, that's us, you and I, to have the same heart towards sinners. If you have any doubt on that, just ask poor Jonah. Ezekiel 33 verse 8 says, this is God speaking, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." God expects us to urge the people to repent, to change their thinking, to turn from their sins. Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I can just see him preaching repentance to the people as he built the ark, and yet only 8 people entered the ark. People were so divorced from God that they would not even repent. That is so sad.